This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Jerry's Percentages in about a half an hour. Ray Ferraro in about 5 minutes. We'll get into the Leaf game tonight, the Raptor game tonight. We'll touch on the Colin Kaepernick story a little bit more later this afternoon. Some crazy fan stories out there as well. The weather in Toronto, breaking records for how cold it is.
Yeah.
Like, outrageously cold.
I like a good crisp. I swear, November. I do.
Why would you like that?
I took my kids to school today, and just seeing everybody walk around, it's...
Miserable. No, everyone's miserable.
As long as the sun's out, I think it's amazing. I like this weather way better than that damp garbage and rainy, and then you just walk outside, you're like so cold and miserable. That's a crisp Canadian morning, and I loved it.
It was too cold this morning.
Way too crisp. Cold. It was minus 16 this morning.
That's I'll tell you crisp. What. I saw numerous cases of some elderly gentlemen that have now placed the rule in, it's windows up darts. And your partner is going to chew on it.
No matter
what. It's that time of year where windows up darts is an option.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
it is.
And if you have something to say about it, you get a ride somewhere else. I even saw one example of a windows up cigar, which is just a kick in the pants.
That should honestly be illegal.
No, like
the cops should be able to pull you over.
I saw you smoking.
That's some poor old lady in there, and the guy's got a Cohiba cooking in the car, tooting around.
That's what I'm saying. Not for him. I'm saying for her. Someone should step in for her and say, you can't do that anymore.
It's a ticket.
It's got to be a ticket.
Windows up darts with cigar is a ticket.
Well, because the freezing cold, it hit us so fast.
Yeah.
Nobody was prepared. It's snowing out of control. It's November 13th.
I know. It's terrible.
It's gross.
Very upsetting.
Yet, you're seeing that a lot, and I'm still seeing Shorts guy out there. And
that's just ridiculous.
Have you heard about this guy in Winnipeg? He's making the rounds.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't have a pair of pants.
His name is Chris Matthew. We've got to get him on the show. I was talking to the Grappler earlier today. The Grappler's on it. So he's a Winnipeg Blue Bomber fan. Back in 2001, I guess the Bombers were on pace for a Grey Cup. It was a lock.
Yeah, lock of the century.
And this guy made a bet. I guess this guy, he never reneges on a bet, which I'll give him credit for.
Yeah, I got a lot of respect for that.
For whatever purpose, he made a bet with a buddy of his that he will not put on pants until the Blue Bombers win a Grey Cup.
Oh, my Lord.
They did not win the Grey Cup in 2001. They have not won since. This guy has not worn pants in 18 years. All he does is wear shorts. In Winnipeg.
That's ridiculous.
That is such a commitment to a bet.
Yeah, I want to hear this story. We got to get this guy on.
We've got to get him on. There was a piece online today. It's making the rounds. I guess the only time he wore pants, he showed up to a few funerals over the past 18 years.
Yeah, right. And so hold on, it's 18 years. I'm drawing a, like, I haven't done the math here. I thought you said 2010.
2001.
Oh, I'm sorry, 2001.
He has not worn pants since 2001. This guy, there he is up on TSN 4. Look at that cat. He is a grizzled Winnipeg veteran.
I want to meet him.
I do, too.
I'll shake his hand. And actually, it's a ton of respect, too. Like you say, the guy didn't welch on a bet.
Tropical climate.
No.
Could you imagine wearing shorts in Winnipeg in January?
Shoveling your driveway?
In January in Winnipeg. Minus 50 outside.
Is he married? Like, his wife be like, get some pants on.
I gotta think he's single. I hate to say that. He's married? She must be a diehard Bomber fan, or she loves to gamble.
Yeah, she's the one who bet him.
Right. She's holding his feet to the fire, saying, like, listen to you.
You were being a hero. This team stinks, and you're never going to wear another pair of pants.
It would be my favorite couple of all time.
If she's the one who bet him.
If she's the one that bet him and said, I'm telling you, you're not wearing pants until the Blue Bombers win a Grey Cup. And they're in Saskatchewan this weekend. I want them to lose now so that this guy has to wear shorts.
I want him to wear
another
pants.
Year.
Yeah. Forever. I don't ever want to see Winnipeg win a Grey Cup.
No, I want Winnipeg to win now just so that he has the choice. And what if he's like, no, I'm good?
What kind of pants do you think he'd wear for the first time in 18 years?
Sweatpants.
No, I think he goes with a hardcore blue jean.
No. Yeah, he's
like
got either
Wrangler, like Wranglers that you can fall off a motorcycle and they won't scratch you.
Yeah, you can light them on fire and the it won't touch your skin.
No, he looks like he's in good shape. Ones. So I bet you it would be like it wouldn't be. He's not a 42-32.
No, he's missed the whole Lululemon era. Like, maybe that's what it really is. He hates Lululemons. He hates, like, the new styles of pants. Yeah. Everyone's got tight, slim fit, and it's just a complete protest.
Yeah, he's the anti-hipster.
Right. He's like, I'm wearing shorts.
No, I...
Anyway, shorts guy. And that is an exclusively male-driven industry. I have not seen a woman wear a pair of shorts in minus weather.
Just go to the airport. I'm sure there's...
Airport.
The travel,
obviously, in the gym and playing sport. I'm talking walking down Yonge Street minus 15.
Well, some people will get out of a car with shorts on, go into a gym, and leave, getting back in their car. That's it.
Yeah, I'll grant you
that's not every day. They're not going shopping and doing groceries.
Going to work and then going to get some gas.
No, that you're right. I believe that is just.
I haven't seen a woman do it. I've seen a million shorts guys in my life. I have not seen a shorts gal yet. If you're out there,
there probably is one.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, I'm not saying that they shouldn't. In fact, I am saying that because I don't think men should be wearing shorts in like minus 20 weather.
No,
fire on some pants.
This guy, 18 years.
This guy's worn exclusively shorts, except for going to funerals.
I want to shake his hand.
Yeah,
I want to find out his whole story.
He's a legend. Joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
No, not much.
No?
Hanging around. Seeing what you guys got going today, that's always a highlight of my day.
Well, we're talking about this gentleman out in Winnipeg who made a bet 18 years ago that he will not put on pants until Winnipeg wins the Grey Cup. And they haven't won the Grey Cup in 18 years. And he still only wears shorts every day.
You got to admire the dedication.
Yeah.
To the cause. I mean, that's... Now, 9-year-old, he will only wear pants when, like, we literally wrestle him into them. Like, he wears shorts all the time. He comes in the house, first thing he does, he takes his tarp off.
Just gears
walk,
down,
walk
man.
Walk around the house all day, every day, middle of winter, no shirt. It's going to be a hell of a move when he's 17, but right now it seems a little premature.
Yeah. Yeah, at that age, I think he can still get away with it. But
I wear a robe. That's it. Like, I get home and I change into my robe immediately.
Oh, come on, Noodles. You got a robe?
Yeah. Everyone's got a robe.
I have a robe, but I never wear it. I can't put it on and feel like a normal human being walking around in a robe.
Why? It's comfortable.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't do it.
I'm guessing O's got a big robe, kind of like fluffy-ish slippers.
I don't have it. I used to kind of dial up the robe once in a while. I don't do it anymore. I think I just threw in the garbage.
Threw it there. Why?
I just like putting sweatpants on. That's it. That's my move.
Yeah, that's what I do. I get home. I can't wait to get into sweatpants. But
I don't. Never does it occur to me that a robe would be the next move.
No.
Yeah, you got company over and it slips off, and you got.
No, I'm not. It's not Hugh Hefner pervert robe.
You've got clothes underneath the robe.
No, usually it's just my underwear.
Really? You're walking around the house in exclusively a robe and gitch. That's it.
Yes. Yeah. But not when I'm having the neighbors over.
But
or
who's
anything.
To say someone's going to not, like, maybe a pop-in. Someone pulls a pop-in.
Well, if they pop in, I answer the door and say I'll go and change, and I come back.
I say you just go no gear. Just get under the sink and start fixing it with company over. Just run in absolute muck. I got to fix the sink, hon.
No. It's just, it's comfort.
You're like a half
nudist.
What about
on the road, Noodles? What about on the road? Did you dig the robe out of the closet there?
No, because you ever open one of those robes or skid marks in it and stuff? Like
the hotel ones?
A hotel robe?
Yeah.
If it's not a high-end hotel,
you
could get SARS.
On one of those things, and that thing could take off to Mars.
Yeah. It's highly contaminated.
Exactly. Like, there's no way. Like, I don't mind if you go to a nice hotel. A lot of times the robes are quite quality, and I would put it on.
Okay.
Only if I had to. But
if they're not in the plastic seal, I will not put it on.
Yeah, that's
it's got to be a brand new operation.
I just can't take the chance that somebody else has been dragging their tail through that thing. I'm like, no chance, man.
Yeah, that's so true.
Exactly.
It's so true. We were talking a lot about this yesterday in the previous hour. The Leafs are kind of dealing with a fork in the road at this point, where they have 9 games between now and December 1st, starting with a really difficult game tonight at the Islanders, Boston on Friday, Pittsburgh on Saturday, then they hit the road, Vegas, Arizona, Colorado. 7 of the next 9 are on the road. This kind of feels like this is it, doesn't it? I mean, you wake up on December 1st, if you go 2-7 over this run, you are in big, big trouble. But if you go 7-2, all of a sudden, this is the team we've been waiting to see the whole time.
The crazy part is you could, I don't know if they can go 2-7, but you can make a case for a shaky 9 games. But you could also make a case where they play really well and they're, I don't know what they're going to get from Kaskasuo. I mean, I was going to say their goaltending is good, which means Freddie is really good. But if they're going to go, in that 7-2 realm or 6-3, something like that, the guys that have been just sort of holding their heads, they're going to have to jump up a little bit. Riley and Barry, in particular, on the back end, for me, they're going to have to be better. Kapanen and Tavares are going to have to be really good, of course. And then you see what you get from Hyman. But that can't even take away, Mikheyev can't fall into the quiet zone either. And Kerfoot's got to be good. You're missing your best player probably in 2 or 3 disciplines, right, in Marner. And he's their best penalty killer. He's the guy they use the most up front. On the power play, he's as dangerous as anybody. And you got to fill that in. So I can see a case for maybe for how tight the league is or for what the Leafs are, but for to be either way, really.
Yeah. I mean, Hyman coming back to it, it feels like it's getting more hype than when Tavares came back from his injury.
Well, because Babcock loves him that much.
Yeah. And I guess he's kind of a unicorn on this team. Like,
right.
he's physical. He will fight from time to time.
Yeah, he's kind of a five-tool player for Babcock. He does kind of a little bit of everything. Because he does, regardless, I mean, he had a bunch of empty netters last year, but he's on the ice because it's a critical time defending the league.
Well, that's exactly right. Final minute of the game, he's on the ice.
Right, so...
Yeah, I mean, they don't have another forward like him,
no.
For sure.
No.
And I'm interested to see, they'll play tonight, and this will be a difficult game, and the Islanders are good, and it's a tough place to play. And then Boston somehow stumbled all over themselves last night and kicked away a four-goal lead in the third period. When's the last time that's happened? They haven't won in their last 4 games. They got a million guys out injured right now, and all of them are their right shot forwards. Kuhlman, Backman, or Backus. They lost Senishin last night, and they're missing one other one, Richie. And you can say none of them are world beaters, but all of them are wingers that play in the same position. They're down to like their 6th and 7th and 8th right winger. Like they don't have any. Par Lindholm's their third center right now.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's a game that you can look at and go, yeah, that's the Bruins, but that's not really the Bruins there. And Krug is not there. Like, what an enormous chunk of their team that's missing. He's got 11 assists on the power play. He's their big minute guy on the blue line, and he's not there. Matt Grzelcyk's filling in, but that's not the same.
So I believe the last coach to win back-to-back Jack Adams was Jacques Demers with Detroit in the late 80s. As of today, I would think Barry Trotz, does he win it tonight? Like, I know Tippett would get a lot of love as a new coach.
What about Todd Reirden?
Reirden, and for sure. I mean, Washington is...
They've got 2 losses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're that good.
That probably deserves some recognition.
Peter Laviolette, maybe?
Yeah, but I don't know. You look at Trotz,
they
based on their team.
I mean,
like,
they're 11-0-1 in their last 12. Like, they're just crushing teams. And
but do you ever look at their team and go, oh my God, that's a steamroller?
Never.
I never do.
On paper, you'd be like, okay, that's a, I don't know, middling team, maybe?
Yeah, but I think they're better, like, they're better constructed than people think. Like, I know you look at Toronto and you go, oh, they've got superstars, and Matthews and Tavares and Marner, but, like, Barzal is a really special player. And Barry Trotz has gotten him to play a responsible game. So it's almost, you know, with the Steve Yzerman scenario where Yzerman could get 100 points, but he left some on the table to be a more complete player.
But I think fans of Toronto would look at it and say, if Trotz can get these guys who are less talented than the Maple Leafs, how come the guy that makes $7 or $8 million can't get this Maple Leaf team to play a certain way to have success?
But here's the thing I would argue.
And I know I understand they're different towns, different players.
Right. But the bottom of the roster for the Islanders, like, they're better than the bottom of the roster of the Leafs. Like Cizikas, Clutterbuck, yes. Martin, like they've been timeless. And I know Martin's injured, but they've been timeless because they can skate and kill penalties and score. Like they've been a plug-and-play team, and they've had injuries too. Like Jordan Eberle's just come back. Komarov.
You know, like, what's underrated? You know what's underrated for them, Noodles? See if you agree or not, is their blue line.
Yes.
Like they have got a couple of guys under the radar there. That are really, really good players. Like Johnny Boychuk is, you know, he's their kind of their glue guy or whatever. But Nick Leddy's is a really good player. Pellick is starting to be a really good
Mayfield.
Player. Mayfield can skate and can shoot the puck. Devin Taves can run a power play. Like all of a sudden you're like, man, they're not household names, but that's a really, really good defense.
Yeah, and they got that Noah Dobson kid.
Yeah. Well, he's close to 9 games, I believe. I think, like, they've been plugging him in kind of here and there. And, like, they, like, Beauvillier, he may not be the most household name, but he's a really good player. And that's what they've got is some really good players that play
a
tight system.
You know what that makes me think, though, Noodles? I just thought of this. Are they a better team for the regular season than they can be for the playoffs when – you know, they might be built to just like grind and slug it out through this 82 games. But if you've got to catch another level to advance in the playoffs, do they have that?
Yeah.
And I wonder if they. I mean, that would be my question about them because it's an underwhelming roster. You know, from a look at it on paper standpoint, but damn, those guys can play. Like they play as a team. They grind it away. They just make it hard for you to accomplish much and. That might work best in an 82-game season. And, you know, the Atlanta Braves did it for the decade of the 90s in baseball. They had the best regular season record by 100 wins. And then in the playoffs, they won one World Series. Like, they didn't have another gear. And I wonder if the Islanders are like that.
Yeah, I mean, once you get past, like, Matt Barzal is a legitimate, like, star talent.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's a fantastic player. And we saw he lit up Pittsburgh. In that 4-game series. Like, he put on a show.
He was dancing, yeah.
Dancing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, once you move past that, you know, if you're going into the third period down a goal or two, you're going to
plug
and play and chip away, or can you rely on a guy to be like, I'm taking over in the third? I don't know if they have that.
I think one of the most underrated players in the league, Ray, I don't know if you like him or not, is Anders Lee. Like, I think he's a big, strong guy that just scores 30-plus every year.
He never looks fast enough. He never, you know, he never looks like he's going to wow you with anything, but he gets in the middle of the ice and it's like they can't get him out of there. He can shoot it pretty quick. He's got good hands to tip and get the rebounds, but every time I look at him, he's kind of like the rest of the team. I think, oh yeah, like he's pretty good. And then you're right, he's got 30 goals and you're like, well, geez, he must be really good then.
Yeah.
They're all kind of the same. They do their own thing, but none of them, to me, really jump out and go, man, that's the guy. I mean, they've missed big on a couple of draft picks in the 4 and 5 range there, Del Cole and Hosang. You know, those players should be right in that age group where they're starting to really get a foothold, and that, you know, those are big misses for them in that position.
Yeah, Griffin Reinhardt as well.
Yeah, that was a big miss.
No, it
worked
out.
Reinhardt went in that trade
Edmonton
for Barzal.
Yeah, I think that turned into Barzal, so that probably worked out okay.
I would say it worked out just fine.
Very well.
But where does Lou Lamoriello come into play in terms of praise and how much credit he deserves for what's going on with the Islanders?
I think one of the things Lou did was, as soon as he got there, kind of the same thing in Toronto. He's kind of like he's got the quiet, quiet sledgehammer, if you will. Like, he just goes through, nope, that's not acceptable, boom, out it goes. That player, nope. that policy, nope. And it's just, it's far quieter, it's far more business-like. It's just, think of the noise that was around the Islanders for, I don't know how long, whatever period of time you want to put on it. there was always something. And then Lou gets there, and I don't know how he does it, but it's like he, you know, it's like he's got everybody sworn to secrecy there. And you don't hear anything from the Islanders. You don't, even through this, you know, the last few stages of getting the building built. I know he doesn't have everything to do with that, but there's no leaks from the organization. You don't read anything from the insiders or anything. And I think that goes a long way into the way they view themselves as, hey, this is a business-like team now. And it, for a long time, it wasn't like that.
Well, I would say it continues even after he leaves, because I have not seen some great expose on the Lou Lamoriello era here in Toronto. Like, I'm waiting for someone to write the book, someone to write some sort of, you know, article or column.
It would all be hearsay because they don't know.
But you would think someone, like Dubas or, you know, somebody right. would be like, here, I'll tell you what was going on with Lou. He's gone now. What do I care?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to deal with the repercussions of Lou Lamoriello. And no one's going to say anything.
No.
Like, no one's like writing anything.
I think it's like the mob.
Yeah, it's just
don't do it.
Yeah, it's unspoken.
No, I mean, like, you never know, like, where the long arm comes from.
Right. And almost out of respect to him, too, I would
For
say.
For sure, he deserves right? that.
Yeah.
You know?
And he factored into the turnaround of this organization.
Big time.
By all means, here in Toronto.
But they, you know, go ahead,
I don't
Ray.
Think he can be underestimated, what his presence means in New York. Just like in Toronto, it just changed. It just changed once he came on board.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. All right, buddy. Good stuff tonight. And enjoy the games. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to pull the plug tomorrow because my flight lands at 7 o'clock. I'll be in the air.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you're coming in for the game on Friday, right?
Yeah, and so instead of coming in late, I decided I'm trying to get there at a decent hour. So unless some knucklehead makes the plane turn back like last trip, I'll be there on time, but I'll miss the show.
Okay. Well, we'll bug you on Friday then.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
Yeah, we look forward to it.
All-star game on Friday, right? I love that. I love that's a fun game.
Oh, it's unbelievable. With all the Hall yep. of Famers out there.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Noodles, do you think Ole will be bringing the can of brown beans down there?
I won't be doing that.
He'll be wearing
They're
a robe.
Still up here.
Oh, my phone started to smell when I watched you eat those beans on set.
You turned on the smell
it's
app?
A scratch and sniff.
I'm like, damn, this thing works.
3 scoops. Done.
It was just gross.
So delicious.
It was like an ice cream scooper his cat was using. It was absolutely
Yeah, it was. Like there was
ruthless.
Yeah, there was shrapnel everywhere.
There's another can over there. I might have to get after it.
You've been staring at it for a while. Yeah,
that thing doesn't have a chance. That thing doesn't have a chance.
No, it's going to disappear in about the next 4.5 minutes.
Enjoy, boys. Good luck.
All right, buddy. Yeah. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline for the month of November. Receive free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle that is financed or leased. Visit Maple Toyota next to Wonderland, MapleToyota.com. All right, Jerry's percentage is coming up. We've got Ryan Dempster on at 6. Get his perspective as a pitcher, what he thinks of this Houston Astros electronic sign-stealing story that's really explosive.
Well, how many teams are you thinking that are doing the same thing and they just haven't been outed yet?
There's no way there's only one team.
No
There is
way.
No way. Remember the man in white out in center field with the Blue Jays going back
exactly.
4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Where they were being accused by multiple teams that there was someone in center tipping off signs.
Yeah.
And the Blue Jays were like, this is ludicrous and so stupid. That was their defense. And I don't know if it was happening or not, but people eventually just said, all right, well, we can't prove it, so we're moving on.
I wonder if that is true. Like, I wonder if it is.
I think every team is always trying to steal signs.
Yeah,
I just assume it's happening.
I just find it part of the competitiveness, but I guess it's like...
I agree. I'm full board for it.
Like, yeah.
If you want to figure out what's coming up...
It's technically illegal, but it's a rule you can just get rid of, and then you won't have any problems.
I would love, like, I don't mind. That's kind of why I like the Patriots.
Yeah, they're stealing stuff all the time.
They're trying
cameras in the practice facilities.
That's probably a little bit much.
I actually don't mind that.
Secretly recording the opposition during a run-through practice. I would say that's borderline gutless maneuvering.
But there are so many gutless things out there. I say just full board. Make it sports. Do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want at any time. Cheat.
There's stories about the Detroit Red Wings would have a fresh coat of paint in the playoffs for the visiting team to go in there and the fumes, they crank the heat
That's
up.
Almost like gamesmanship. There's a difference between gamesmanship
and like the
full board
Zamboni
cheating.
Always breaks down in front of the ice after morning skate in the playoffs.
I like that gutlessness, though. I think that's...
It's like fans calling up a hotel and knowing that the team is staying there and they find a way to get to it.
Pulling the fire alarm and stuff.
Right. Exactly.
I don't mind that.
All right, Jerry's percentages next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a f***ing
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry!
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From two people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. It's a big week for Jerry, the Hall of Fame game on Friday night.
Yes.
Oof. Right, all the Hall of Famers are going to be in town this weekend, and on Monday night, it's induction night. James Duthie steals the show.
Yeah, he does a very good job there.
Every year. He's spectacular at that.
He loves it because it's just him. There's nobody to screw up for him or to cover up for.
Does he come up with like a new act every single year?
I don't think so.
Like, he's got to give the opening spiel and all that, right? He's got to have something different to say every year.
Dude, he does that probably 10 minutes before the show starts. He just starts scribbling on a piece of paper and it turns into magic.
He's got to get into the Hall of Fame at some point.
Duthie?
I would think so. Yeah. I don't know if a host can get in, though. Like, I know
you
if
get
you're
in some category.
If Builder? You're like a writer, you can get in. If you're a play-by-play guy, you can get in. If you're just a host, I don't know.
Probably a different category. Like Bobby Mack.
The broadcast category?
Yeah, broadcast, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
But Bobby Mack got in like as a writer, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Duthie will get in. They'll find a way.
You think so?
They'll create something for him.
The James Duthie wing down at the Hockey Hall
of
Fame?
Why not? Why not?
All right. So, you guys ready? Jerry's got an opening statement, I assume?
Yep.
It's Hall of Fame week in Toronto, and that means Jerry will be up at the house he built. All of my favorite hiding spots better get ready for Jerry time. And you know exactly what that means. Brass rail. Everything downtown, get ready for Jerry time.
Why does Jerry always give a shout out to one institution?
I don't know. He's an idiot.
Yeah, I think that's got to stop. Can you send a note to Jerry? No more singling out individual establishments.
Let's get to his takes.
All right.
Nothing makes Jerry feel friskier than seeing the Maple Leafs tumbling down the standings. But unfortunately, that won't be the case this week. Because the Leafs will get at least four of the next 6 points. Maybe a goalie can make a save in a back-to-back. That'd be nice.
Jerry, frisky watching all of these issues up here in Toronto.
4 of 6 points?
That's what Jerry just stated.
I don't have good mojo right now.
4 of 6.
Islanders, Boston, Pittsburgh, Kaskasuo making his debut on Saturday night.
I'm saying 3 because 1-1-1.
4 of 6, I'm going to give that a 47% chance.
I'll give him a little higher. Actually, you know what? I'm going to revamp. 61%.
You're going lower, aren't you?
He's going higher.
I'm thinking higher. I'm thinking this team, if I had faith in this team on October 1st, which I did, I have to have faith that they're going to finally snap out of it and say, you know what, we're playing some really good teams here. We believe we're in their category. At some point, we got to prove that we're in that category. Enough with the excuses, enough with the back-to-back garbage, backup goalie isn't good enough.
Right.
Let's go. Snap out of it. 72%.
Wow.
That they pick up 6 points. Four of six.
Four of six. Yeah.
The fake news media up in Canada keeps treating Pascal Siakam like he's the next Michael Jordan. Well, all of that campaigning will help him finish top 5 in MVP voting this season.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, are we the fake news media up here? I guess, because we've been talking about Siakam and how well he's played. Top five MVP.
No way. I think there's too many of the big boys that are just automatic throw-ins. You got Kawhi, LeBron in the same building.
Harden.
Westbrook, Harden on the same team.
Only one of them are going to get in the top five, though, I think. It's probably going to be Harden.
Cancel each other out?
Yeah, I think so. You know, at this point, Giannis, clearly Giannis. I think it's Giannis, LeBron, Kawhi. Although Kawhi might take himself out of it with load management. Harden.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you start looking around.
I think it's too early.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit too early. But I do think, you know, first place in the East is not out of the realm of possibility.
No.
They finish first, I think he will end up top five. Mm-hmm. Because that means, you know, he'll get all that love. Look what they did without Kawhi.
Right.
His numbers have been off the charts. It's really early in the season. But if they continue anywhere close to that, that will continue to get love and get amplified. He's going to the All-Star game, so that's going to be a start. He'll probably have Canada behind him. I wouldn't be shocked if he starts at the All-Star game.
I'm going to give him a 38% chance.
Yeah, that feels about right. And top five, no one's saying win the MVP.
17%.
I don't think load management's going to apply with him either. He's going to play a lot of minutes. I think voters should...
He doesn't want load management.
No,
he
exactly.
And he's a young guy. He doesn't have any major injuries. He wants to get it going now. He knows that he's become a good player, and you can see that he wants to put it on display.
Right. And he's dealing with injuries on his team. They're playing 40 minutes a night. He's got to. That deserves recognition as well.
Mm-hmm.
He should get love if he continues to play.
They'll
at a
factor
high rate.
All that in.
I'm going to say 45%. 45%.
I see Roger Goodell finally snapped out of his haze he's been in the past few years and is hooking up Colin Kaepernick with a tryout. And it'll lead to Kaepernick signing with an NFL team before the start of next season.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier. It's very strange.
Yeah.
Why out of nowhere he gets a tryout.
There
as if it's a combine.
Some kind of PR slant to it. I don't know if it was part of the settlement package. But we talked about it's been 3 years since Kaepernick was in the league. And his last couple, he wasn't even at his best. So what about him now can be an NFL starting quarterback? I'm going 4% on this.
Well, to double down on that, really why he ended up out of the league is because of he became the poster boy of kneeling during the anthem.
Correct.
And these, I don't know if they all colluded together or all individually decided he's too toxic for my brand, so I'm not going to bring him in.
Right.
Has that changed? I mean, it's died down a little bit, but I don't know. Is he still going to kneel during the anthem? Is he still going to be, you know, speaking actively about different, you know, issues that he finds important? Is that going to come up on Saturday? He's going to do a taped interview. Are they going to ask him, like,
I'm sure you would have to.
I would think so, but is he going to answer it? I don't know. I mean, there's too much uncertainty here.
I almost feel like the NFL is like, let's do this. Nobody signs him, and it's gone away for good. He's 32. Like, he's not coming back. He's not a young guy. Like, see, nobody wanted you.
Yeah, that's the cynic in me.
Or maybe that's the cynic in me, too. Or maybe they're crossing their fingers and be like, this guy doesn't have it anymore. Doesn't, like, leak out the numbers, is, you know, how quick he is or not quick he is. Like, no, he's not good enough to play in the NFL right now, even though, like, there are NFL people, I believe, that say he would be an upgrade on X, Y, and Z.
They're pulling guys off the street.
Right.
I mean, we've seen, I don't know what he would look like anymore. I don't know. But I don't think he would be as bad as some of the options that have been signed, or he'd be equally as bad at the worst.
Correct.
I don't know. I'm going to say 25%, because I think there's a chance that there might be a team out there that maybe does want to sign him, but they feel like they've got to go through this kind of three-ring circus
process.
They almost have to clear it. They want to, like, test the air to see what people are thinking about Kaepernick now.
Yeah, I'm low on this, though. You said, what, four?
Four.
You're what?
25%.
Actually, I'll go 7%.
I'll go 13%.
As a little boy, Jerry dreamed of two things: playing for the Yankees and locking out professional athletes. Never got to put the pinstripes on, but I'll always be a Yankees fan. And they'll sign at least one of Strasburg or Cole this offseason.
little Jerry.
What a horrible little boy. Why would you dream about locking out professional athletes?
That's what he dreamed of.
The Yankees and locking out players. Well, half of his dream came true.
Yeah.
One of Strasburg or Cole signed with the Yankees.
85%. 85%. They always end up there.
Yeah.
They'll make room.
I'm very high on this.
91%.
I got to go 92 just to dance around your number. Because Cashman came out earlier this week, I think, and said, we have no luxury tax restraints. We got no. That's basically just a shot over the bow.
Saying we're coming in hot.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, pick up the phone when I call you. Because we're not wasting your time. One of these two cats is pitching at Yankee Stadium.
And maybe they get super horny and both of them are.
Would it shock
you? No, it wouldn't.
It wouldn't shock me. I don't think they'll do that because then they'll definitely be into the... Unless they're going to trade like Stanton or something like that.
Right.
They'd have to really dump money. But one of them, there's no way the Yankees aren't landing one of them.
Yeah, they're
no
landing. Question.
There's just no way. And as a Blue Jay fan, it is infuriating.
Just rattles your cage.
Because the Jays can't even get, like, if they called up Scott Boras, Atkins, I don't even think he could get through. Boras just would be like, I'll talk to you later.
Right. You think the agent, you think nothing.
Well, in terms of, like, those players, like right. Gerrit Cole, don't waste your time.
That's a 30-second conversation. What's the number?
Yeah. Thank you.
And what's the number in Toronto for him to go there?
Well, it's like $50 million on top of what the number is in New York, Houston, L.A.
Christy Pitts. That's what it is.
Yeah, for Boras.
Exactly.
That's who you got to pay.
You give the agent money and say, you make this happen. You make your client come here.
Right. All right, Jerry's After Dark coming up in about an hour. We'll have one more Jerry's. We've got, speaking of baseball, Ryan Dempster coming up in about 20 minutes. And this super fan, Cameron Hughes, ESPN.com wrote a story on him. He's a professional fan. Like, he goes around, I believe he's been in Toronto. I think he has. He's been to, like, all the rinks. He takes his shirt off. He does a dance and then goes home. And they pay him for it.
Is he the guy that has, like, 17 shirts on?
I think he might be that guy. I think he's been one of those guys. I think it's somewhat of a lucrative business, if you could believe it.
That would be great.
Yeah, he's been doing it for a long time. So we'll catch up with him and get to the bottom of that. Raptors in Portland tonight. Leafs on the island taking on New York. Lots to get into throughout the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ryan Dempster will join us in about 15 minutes. Get into this Houston Astros sign-stealing story. Ken Rosenthal wrote this in The Athletic, and now baseball's involved. And, of course, Houston's like, oh, we don't even know. I guess we'll look into it. Yeah, okay.
They know.
Yeah, they know. A former pitcher is the one, like, is quoted. He's like, yeah, I was on a team, and that's what they were doing. But we're going to launch an investigation.
Give me the gist on how they were doing it again.
Well, they had a camera set up, I believe, in right field. They had they were making a noise. Like, there were three different ways. I got to look it up. I got the story.
They're banging their bats or something.
Yeah, there was like if a changeup was coming, they'd bang their bat three times.
So the camera was located on the catcher making the signal to the pitcher?
Yeah.
Or?
That's the understanding.
But a lot of time, the catcher will look at the manager to ask him what's coming up.
Not
or
over
somebody
the,
on the
that'll
bench.
Happen occasionally if there's men on base or right. If it's in a like a high octane moment. But the thing is, like, someone did the digging back in the 2017 World Series, and the splits home and away are shocking. Like how well Altuve hit at home compared to on the road, and in
some
baseball, the flags are up because they're like, wait a minute. Like, yeah. Look at your stats at home when the camera was up in right field, and maybe you were stealing signs, and look how you were hitting on the road.
Yeah.
But it's such a small sample size. I mean,
plus they have people the best record at home in baseball this year.
But plus, people are trying to take down a winner.
They're a pretty good team.
Yeah.
They're like, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to see baseball launch an investigation and then retract the World Series.
And they're not going to turn into a bunch of donkeys next year where they forget how to play.
That's the whole thing. Like, there is a Patriots connection here. Now, the Pats did their thing with Spygate and all that kind of stuff, but then they just kept winning. Right. And after a while, you had to be like, all right, I don't know. They're just better. Like, yeah, they're just better. It's not like they cheated. They're better.
It was, they were a really good team, and it was one, maybe one mechanism they were trying to get ahead.
Right.
Like, oh, let's try this. Let's try that.
Even Deflategate was totally bogus. When you look at it, the second half of that game, they beat the Indianapolis Colts like 45-10. It wasn't because the ball was slightly deflated. Yeah. It was a joke. Like, Brady's, he's still the greatest of all time. It doesn't matter what the PSI is in the football.
It's just, if people like to hate on winners and take them down.
Well, if you're cheating, you've got to own that. I'm not saying that they should be let off the hook. What I'm saying is they probably were going to win anyway. They're still going to keep winning. And you're not going to go back and say, you're out of the record book, so you don't win that World Series anymore. Like, remember, they've done that with the Heisman.
Yeah.
They did that with Reggie Bush, which is the dumbest thing I think I've ever seen in sports, as if that means he didn't still win the Heisman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, oh, we're taking you out of the record books now. Retroactively, you didn't win the Heisman. He did.
You know who you take out of the record books? O.J. Simpson, for what he did.
Right. But that doesn't happen.
No.
He's still in. He's the first ever to run for 2,000 yards. That's not out of the record book. He's still in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. That's
O.J.'s
where
still in.
That's where you revisit that. But, I mean, what?
Not even an asterisk.
Yeah. No,
you, no, I mean, as far as I know, his plaque doesn't say anything other than what he did as a football player.
I've got an idea for the Leafs. Just to, I don't know, I'm thinking outside
the box. Interesting segue from OJ to the Leafs.
No, I'm just talking about cheating. I'm not talking about what. They control the nets at home. What if you made a net that was just a little bit smaller that you couldn't, for the home goaltender? You control who you put that, you know, you can, the guys control what net goes in there. Not much to the eye, but certainly somewhere, just an inch here, an inch there.
Do you think a ref would pick that up?
No way. It would take a long time.
Now, goalies would. Goalies know, like, you feel it. You know, it's a certain push to the, like, side to side.
A goalie would notice right away.
But
and then
not
somebody
if it's the home
the
goalie. If Freddie Anderson knew, like people say Brady knew, right? Mm-hmm. If Freddie Anderson knew that his goal was not a 4x6, let's say it's close to a 4 and close to a 6, but you couldn't look at it to the eye.
Are you advocating for that maneuver?
I'm not, but what I'm saying,
are you going on the record saying you want to see the Leafs win a cup so badly they have to cheat
to
get it?
I'm saying that.
Just bring out that little saucer puck net. It's like this big. It's the size of your hand.
Have him stand in front of that. Nothing to see here, folks.
I think he'd win a Vezina with that.
But what I'm saying is if that's a way to cheat.
It would
just
be. I mean,
tinkering. Because the home guy would have to be in. Here's your home net.
Yeah. Oh, you need like the arena
the
operator
people,
or whatever. But there's other ways around it. Like you could, I don't know. You can
That's
mess with a goalie's crease. You can mess, you know, ice around the bench. I don't know what you can do.
Well, we put a guy in the crowd, and every time there's an odd man rush, blow a whistle.
That's ridiculous. That would be. Well,
I'm
not
shocked
that, mine
that
wasn't
some
ridiculous.
Guy bombed has never done that. 2-on-1 in overtime, game 7.
I agree with you on
blow
that.
Blow the whistle.
Yeah, I am surprised that someone has not.
I think you could be charged for that.
No.
No, for a whistle?
You're going to the drunk tank for sure.
Oh, you're out.
And you are banned for life.
But it's tough to find the guy, too. If it's a quick whistle and he tucks that away, are you going to find that?
They found Ken Pagan.
Right. They would have video and they'd probably find it.
They'll figure it out.
Final hour coming up. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.